Thank you, Isaac. Well, let us stand, and Rob, would you lead us in an opening prayer, please?
On reflection of what Isaac's just shared, may we just pause for a moment and just sing a couple of times, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." So turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light. This morning we turn afresh to You. Forgive us where we've been distracted by other things, Lord, but let us turn our gaze back to You.
Yes.
And Lord, we yield and submit and ask, Lord, that that You would work in our hearts and on our hearts this morning as Gregory shares the word with us, that we would be built up, we would be encouraged, Lord. Thank You, Father, for the prompting to get our focus right.
Yes.
Get our focus on You, and the other stuff will just fall away. So, Lord, we acknowledge You as number one in our lives and ask You, Lord, to lead us and guide us this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.
Thanks be seated. Well, today we have a character sketch. So if you brought your New Testament to this morning, you're going to be in trouble. We're going to be spending a bit of time in the Old Testament. I like to start a character sketch off, so it's like an extended Sunday school meeting this morning. I like to start a character sketch off with a quiz. Who am I? I am a righteous king of Judah. My mother's name was Azuba, which apparently was the daughter of Shilhai. Became king when he was 35 years old. He reigned 25 years and died at the age of 60. He sought the Lord God. He did not seek after Balaam. He took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. He continued religious reforms that his father had started. He militarily strengthened Judah and built garrisons throughout Judah. He built castles and storehouses in Judah. On his first military campaign, recorded in the scriptures, he ignored the advice given to him from the prophet of the Lord and fled for his life. On his second military campaign, he didn't seek the Lord at all until it all went pear-shaped on him. And then it turned out all right in the end. On his third military campaign, he sought the Lord from the get-go, and it went really well. He made a fleet of ships to collect gold, but they all got wrecked. He did something that was a snare to him, and it set up the next generation to fail and caused heartache to the nation of Judah for the next 15 years after he was gone. He lived approximately 60 years after the kingdom was divided in the days of Rehoboam, which was his great-grandfather. He made peace with the king of Israel. His father's name was Asa, and he is King Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
So we have 7 points to consider on King Jehoshaphat. Seven things. Now, in the New Testament, it tells us that all scripture is profitable for reproof and correction, doctrine and instruction. And it also says that they were admonitions for our for us, for our examples. And it's talking about the Old Testament. And so some of these Old Testament stories, while we teach them to our children in Sunday school, there's some lessons for mamas and papas as well. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to look at Jehoshaphat, the good and the not so good. We're going to be here for a little while. We've got some scripture to read. Sorry. The good and the not so good. Can't we say that about us all? Can't we? Have we not all done some things that we're really pleased that we did? And then there's some things that, well, I wish I hadn't have done. And then there's also, well, if you were my friend, you'd never bring that up again. Okay? And Jehoshaphat's like that. He's very human. He's very normal. He would fit in our lounge rooms quite well. Okay? So he's one of us. So today, when we look at Jehoshaphat, I don't want to be an armchair critic. That's not my desire. Jehoshaphat was a righteous king, and he did a lot that was praiseworthy and good. And where he made some mistakes, let us learn from them and apply those principles to our own life. And let us not make the same mistakes. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I'm just going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 17, sorry. And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead. This is after Asa. And strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the ways, first ways of his father David and sought not under Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honour in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail and Obadiah and Zechariah and Nethaneel and to Micaiah and to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, Nethaneah, and Zebadiah, and Asahel, and Shemaramoth, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tobadonijah. Try that one. Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests. And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout the cities of all Judah, and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store. And he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And these are the number of them according to the house of their fathers. Of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adna the chief, and with him mighty men of valor, 300,000. And next to him was Jehonahan the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amasiah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. And of Benjamin, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, and with him armed men with bow and shield, 200,000. And next to him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 ready prepared for the war. These waited on the king, beside those whom the king put in the fenced cities throughout Judah. And so we see there a picture. Do you get a picture there? Of prosperity, success, loving the Lord. But the first thing that stands out to me is duty. Jehoshaphat becomes king. And the first thing that he did, as soon as he became king, was he strengthened the nation against Israel. Now you remember that Israel and Judah separated in the days of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And Jeroboam became the king of Israel. And there was this contention between the two. You see, Judah had Jerusalem, and you had to go to Jerusalem for the Passover, for the feasts, and for everything else like that. And so pretty soon the king of Israel went, sure, I'm king over Israel, but hang on a minute, all my people keep going to Judah. I've got to put a stop to that. And so in the days of Jehoshaphat's father, Asa, King Baasha of Israel built a city called Ramah. And the purpose of building Ramah was to stop Israel going to Jerusalem. Okay? Enough already. You worship the golden calves, you don't go to Jerusalem. Okay? And Asa did something wrong. And he upset the Lord when he did it. He took all the gold out of the treasure house of the Lord and sent it off to the king of Assyria and said, make a league with me and break your league with Baasha, the king of Israel, and go make war with him. And the king of Syria did it. And so while Baasha took his army and trotted off to go and meet the king of Syria, King Asa got the whole of Judah, every man, woman, and child, go up to Ramah and get a stone and carried away the entire city. And he built a couple of other cities himself with it. Now the seer came out and told Asa off. He said, because you have relied on the king of Syria in your time of need and you didn't turn to the Lord your God, then the king of Syria has escaped out of your hand. And Asa wasn't happy. Asa was grumpy. And from that time, he actually turned back from following the Lord. And so that's the history. And Jehoshaphat knew that. And so he comes to be king. What's he going to do? And the first thing he goes, I've got to settle this thing with Israel. And so he strengthens all his defences. He gets all his mighty men, he places them in position so the people feel safe, so that the people are protected. And so as king, the first thing he did was sought the physical protection and provision for those entrusted to his care. He put the needs of his people first. And so, parents, do we do that? Most of us have children. I'm sorry, it's windy and my chimney's not long enough. If we all get smoked out, at least we don't have any mosquitoes, okay? Do we do that? So when we look at the life of Jehoshaphat, do we as parents, do we put those people entrusted to us, our children first, do we make sure that they're adequately provided for before we seek to ourselves? Because King Jehoshaphat did, and he gives us a good example there. The next thing, he was devoted and dedicated. It says here that he walked in the ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in the commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Jehoshaphat loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. And because he loved the Lord, he walked in his commandments. His love impacted his hands and his feet. He put away the things that displeased the Lord. You know, the things that creep in. Some people call it drift, where we just, you know, going along with those around us, and then, oops, the things that everyone else was doing. And it says here, verse 6, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Verse 6. And in 1 Kings 22:46, he said, and the remnant of the Sodomites which remained in the days of his father, Asa, took out of the land. So the love of God should move us to live holy lives according to the word of God, busy about his business. So, today, if you love God and in your spare time, you flop around the house, watching the telly, surfing the internet, reading novels, guess what? Get up! Get busy! There's things that the Lord wants you to do. There are things that he wants you building. There are things for your hands and feet to do. And he wants you devoted. He wants you dedicated to serving him.
That's
good. Jehoshaphat, what he did for Judah, he lived a holy life different to how the rest of the nations lived around him. The second point of devoted and dedicated, in verse 7 and 9, it says here, in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, and with them priests. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. So Jehoshaphat's devotion and love of God moved him, yes, to personally live a holy life, to personally put away those things out of his life that were displeasing to God. But then it moved him to teach others. Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know, if you've got the love of God in your heart and you meet someone who doesn't have that, doesn't that want you to just bring it out and share it with them? You can have this thing that I've got. It's so exciting knowing the Lord Jesus. And so he sent the people through the land, the princes, the Levites, and the priests. And you know, I love that picture. He didn't just send the Levites. Now, the Levites were supposed to be doing it anyway. But he sent the princes. So what's that, his sons? You know, the rulers of the people, the government people. The priests, they're the ones that are just supposed to be offering sacrifices in the temple. They're not supposed to be teaching the people. And he sent the Levites. So there was no excuse for the people. They couldn't say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I know you Levites tell us we're supposed to be living this way, but the government doesn't." No, he got the whole bang lot of them and sent them out and said, "This is the way that you're supposed to be living." Now, a generation ago, parents sent their children to Sunday school and then never went to church themselves. How did that turn out? Have a look around our society today. Does it work telling your children, "Now, see here, you love the Lord your God with all your heart," and being apathetic yourself? Does that work?
No.
Thank you. Lead from the front, parents. And so we see here an example for us in Jehoshaphat's life. He got the leaders, he stuck them out in front, and he said, "This is the way you do it." And that's how we lead. We lead from the front. We don't lead from standing behind with a sharp stick poking someone. That's not called leading. I think that's called poking. Okay? So you lead from the front. So parents, lift up your cup to the Lord. And when you cry out like David, "My cup runneth over," then those mercy drops, that cup that's overflowing with the goodness of the Lord, will fall down upon your children around you, and they will be blessed. That's a beautiful picture. So let the love of God in our hearts make us bold to proclaim salvation through Jesus Christ, not just with our children, but with our friends, our neighbours, and strangers. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul says to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Okay. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you didn't get that, God, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Okay, so I charge you before God, and he's going to judge you on this. Okay, what's he going to say? What's Paul going to say to Timothy now? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Okay, so the love of God should move us to share like Jehoshaphat did. And Paul was saying to Timothy, "I charge you, spread this message. It's important. People need to hear that Jesus saves." Let us tell others of God's love, teach them to live holy lives, and let us live it ourselves in front of our family, our friends and neighbours. Be devoted and dedicated to loving and serving Jesus Christ, just like Jehoshaphat was. So that's the first two, duty and devoted and dedicated. So we're up to point three already. His first military campaign. We've got some more reading to do. We're going to turn to 1 Kings 22 and we're going to read 1 to 36. So this is the first military campaign that we have that Jehoshaphat entered into. 1 Kings 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria." And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 of them. Now remember who these prophets are. These are the golden calves of Baal and of the groves. And said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten hither, Micaiah the son of Imlah." And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah made him horns of irons, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until you have consumed them." And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spoke unto him, saying, "Behold now, the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." That's a bit of a warning for you. And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord says unto me, that will I speak."
Amen.
So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, "Micaiah, shall we go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And the king said unto him, "How many times shall I adjure thee that you tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let them return, every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil?" And he said, and Micaiah said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on the other manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you shall persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, behold, you shall see in that day when you shall go into an inner chamber to hide yourself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and the water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but you put on your robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria had commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, "Do not fight either with small or great, but only with the king of Israel." And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, "Surely it's the king of Israel." And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at evening. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation through the host about the going down of the sun, saying, "Every man to his city and every man to his own country." Okay, I want to draw our attention to a few things, and I guess you might know which those things are because I put some expression into it when I was reading. Verse 4, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. It's one of the later points. Okay, verse 5, Jehoshaphat requests, "Hey, before we go to war, let us seek the Lord. Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." That is a good example for us. Before we buy that house, before we change that job, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. It is a good principle. Jesus Christ wants to help us with our decisions. Reach out and seek his blessing in faith first. Okay, so Ahab gets quite the party going. 400 prophets all jumping around, horns of iron, go up and prosper. You know, I kind of imagine Jehoshaphat there with a little bit of a sick look on his face right about now. Is there not a prophet of the Lord? Like, I know you've got 400 of these guys. 400 men. All saying with one voice, go up. What was Jehoshaphat thinking? They're false prophets. Yeah. Ahab responds, "Yes, there is a prophet of the Lord here, but I hate him." And what did Jehoshaphat say? Let not the king say that. You can't say that. He's a prophet of the Lord. Well, Jehoshaphat, what are you doing? What are you doing here with this guy who hates prophets of the Lord and has all these 400 prophets here? Anyway, Micaiah is called and he's prepped. He's told by the messenger, "Let your word be like the word of them." There's 400 prophesying. All is peachy. Just go along with them, Micaiah. Okay, just go with the flow. Say what everyone else is saying. But brave Micaiah. What a brave man. Let's stop. I know this is a character sketch about Jehoshaphat, but let's have a look at Micaiah now just for a minute. "As the Lord liveth." As the Lord liveth. "What the Lord saith to me, that will I speak." And Micaiah seals his testimony with imprisonment. He's the only prophet of the Lord. There is one man in Samaria left. One visible man that was a prophet of the Lord. Jezebel had destroyed. Ahab's wife had killed all the prophets of the Lord. Elijah had just fled. Remember, Elijah picked up his skirts and ran, okay? There were 7,000 secret believers in Israel that had not bowed the knee to Baal, but they were hidden. They weren't there. And there's one man. Do you feel lonely sometimes? Do you feel sometimes like you're all alone in the midst of a really, really wicked world? Yeah. Put yourself in Micaiah's shoes for a minute. Can you imagine the pressure on him to please man? But he pleased God instead. What a brave man. And so Jehoshaphat, he heard the word of the Lord. "Hearken, O people, every one of you." Are you listening, Jehoshaphat? What will you do, Jehoshaphat? And so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And, you know, I see the grace of God. In verse 32, it says, "And Jehoshaphat cried out." Notice the wiliness of Ahab. You get dressed up in your robes. Did Ahab ever have an idea that maybe the Syrian king was going to do that? "I'm going to disguise myself so no one knows that I'm king. But you get all dressed up in your gold and finery, okay? And I'll leave you to it, mate." And in 2 Chronicles 18:31, it says, it's a parallel passage, it says exactly the same story. But it says, "And the Lord helped him when Jehoshaphat cried out, and God moved them to depart from him." And so here, I want to praise the Lord. You know, God's overruling providence in Jehoshaphat is the same to you as it is to him. Psalm 34:6 says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And so too with us today. If you have entered into something today, you are in something perhaps which you might well have had a very good inkling at the start was perhaps not the best thing, not so wise. Repent. Cry out to the Lord and he can save you out of all your troubles. Amen. Don't ever think, "Oh, look, I've made this mess of myself. I can't ask the Lord. I'm not going to ask the Lord. This is my fault." Don't do that. Look to the Lord. Cry out to him in your trouble and he will save you in all your distresses. Yes. So Jehoshaphat got a spanking. Ahab got killed. Jehoshaphat comes home to Judah with his tail between his legs. And before he can even get home to his own bed and have a little cry and tell his wife what had happened. Point four, Jehoshaphat is rebuked. So when we turn to 2 Chronicles 19, we read, we'll read 1 to 3. "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem." I think with his tail between his legs, personally. "And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God.'" Rebuked. "There is wrath upon you." What did Jehoshaphat do next? What did Jehoshaphat's father, Asa, do when he was rebuked by Hanani the seer when he sought help from the king of Syria instead of the Lord God? What did Asa do? In 2 Chronicles 16:10 it says, "Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in the prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time." What's Jehoshaphat going to do? Is he going to do like what his father did? Verse 4 tells us, "And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, 'Take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites, of the priests, and of the chief of the fathers of Israel, for the judgment of the Lord, and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, 'Thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, you shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come not upon you. And upon your brethren, this do, and you shall not trespass. And behold, Amariah the chief priest is over you in matters of the Lord, and Zebediah the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters, also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with you for good." What was I doing? What was I supposed to be doing before I had that good idea for the Lord? That's right, being king of Judah, being responsible with what was entrusted to me, being in my circle of influence. And so Jehoshaphat is an example of humility and repentance. More so because he was king. Like his father, he could throw the prophet in the prison.
I'll teach you to rebuke me. I'm the king.
Okay, and he didn't. And you notice here in verse 2, and this is just a little quirk, I don't know if you picked up on this. It says here, verse 2 of chapter 19, Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him. It was the son of the man that was thrown into prison for delivering God's corrective words to Asa, Jehoshaphat's father. So Hanani the seer spoke to Asa. Hanani's son spoke to Asa's son. A prophet to a king. The son of a prophet to the son of a king. Brave Jehu. What a brave man. I mean, did he grow up without a father? Well, it doesn't say. It doesn't say how long he spent in prison. He knew his father went out and spoke to King Asa, and that was it. Never saw his father again, locked up for his faith. And yet he went. You still went to the son of the man who threw your father into prison to deliver your message of correction from the Lord. Wow. Proverbs 9 verse 8 says, "Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee." Brave Jehu, humble, meek, and wise Jehoshaphat. What an example in both of these men for us today. Okay, Jehoshaphat's second military campaign. Do you remember in the introduction what I said about the second military campaign? We actually read this story in the digging ditches, but I'll read it for you again today. We'll read 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 to 25. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria. Remember, Ahab got killed by the Syrians? He was dead in his chariot by nightfall. And reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin, and he departed not therefrom. And Mesha, the king of Moab, was a sheepmaster, and rendered to the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. And he sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me against Moab to battle?" And Jehoshaphat said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of the Moab." And Jehoshaphat said, "The Lord? Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Get you to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother." And the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them to the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not even look at you nor see you. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, and the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet this valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both you, your cattle, and your beasts." and this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord, he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree and stop all the wells of water and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armour and upward and stood on the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And as the Moabites saw the water on the other side, it was as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings are surely slain. They have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoil." And they came to the camp of Israel, and the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites. So they fled before them, and they went forward, smiting the Moabites even in their country. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone, and filled it, and stopped all the wells with water, and felled all the good trees. Only in Kir-Haraseth left they the stones thereof, howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. Okay. Again, verse 7. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Oh dear. Jehoshaphat, haven't you learned? And then, it went all pear-shaped. Then, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may go and inquire of him? At least Jehoshaphat knows where to go in trouble, right?
Yeah.
And did you know, the wicked King Jehoram, he couldn't answer. He worships the golden calves. He doesn't know where there's any prophets of the Lord. And there's one of those 7,000 hidden believers, a servant of the king of Israel, said, "There is one, Elisha over here. He poured water on the hands of Elijah." And so the Lord has respect again to Jehoshaphat in his trouble. And he is delivered once again out of his trouble. Be encouraged. Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." If we fall and we feel like we just fall into trouble all the time, don't be discouraged. The Lord is there. The Lord is waiting to hear your cry. Lift up your faith.
Yes.
And he is willing and able and ready to deliver. But why were you there, Jehoshaphat? Why were you there? Turn to 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat's third military campaign. So we have three military campaigns. And it seems to me that Jehoshaphat seems pretty keen for a fight. Wherever there's a fight going, let me at it. And so it says here, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came up against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beside beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi.'" Now, up until now, Jehoshaphat has jumped into any battle that was going. What's he going to do this time? Is he going to call up the king of Edom and the king of Israel and say, "Hey, you know how I helped you out? You going to come help me?" Is he going to do that? Maybe he's going to call up the king of Syria. He's going to get all the gold and all these presents that he's got and send it off to Syria and say, "Hey, come and give us a hand," like his father Asa did. Do you think he's going to do that? What's Jehoshaphat going to do this time? And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He did it right. Jehoshaphat did it right. Okay, let's read on. Let's read the story. How does it pan out anyway in the end? What is the end of this story? "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, are you not Thou God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand is not their power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham your friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if, when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then you will hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let in Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, behold, I say, how they have rewarded us for this favour, to come, to cast us out of our possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Yeah. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the children, the Kohathites, the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with loud voice on high. And so they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord God, and ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found amongst them in abundance both riches, with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Barakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest about him. Okay. Isn't that just a fantastic story? I love that story. Be not afraid nor dismayed for reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Praise the Lord. You shall not have to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. Don't even be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Okay, first thing. When did they go to do the Lord's bidding? After a good night's sleep, a good sleep in, and a hot breakfast. What do you think? What did it say? And they rose up early in the morning. Okay? And he assembled everybody together. Jehoshaphat got them all. You know, sometimes some of us, we kind of run a little bit late and we have, you know, one person trickling here, one person trickling in there. And, you know, it happens. But do you reckon anyone was late this day? I reckon they were all there. And Jehoshaphat stood out in front of them and he had something to say. He said, before we go, everybody, believe the Lord and you shall be established. Have faith in God.
Yes.
Have faith with shoes on. Today, we're going to believe the Lord and you have to help me with this because we're going to do something today and we have to have faith that God's going to do it. Yes. Else it doesn't work. And then it tells us very specifically that Jehoshaphat consulted. He had a conference with the people. Okay? So, for example, hey, anyone here know how to sing? Ah, Rob, yeah, we have you. Hey, Glenn, yeah, you're good. You've got a good voice. Yeah, you come out in front. We need some singers here. Just in case any of you get confused and might be tempted to let off an arrow or something, you're going to hit your singers in the back of the head. So we're going to put the singers in front. And then when you start singing, I want you to say this. I want you to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever.
Yes.
Praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Do you know that song by Don Moen? Praise ye the Lord. Yeah. It's a really good song. And he went in front. And he praised the Lord. And when, I love that word, when. When they began to sing and praise, what happened? The enemy started killing each other. Okay? So they're all there. They're there and nothing's happening. There's another army there in front of them. But when they started saying, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever and ever. Okay? When they started singing that, they started killing each other.
Yes.
Okay, so we need to step out, and this is an example to us, and this is an encouragement to us, and this is a teaching to us. You can believe it here. God said to you, homeschool your children. And you said, oh, I don't think God's doing that, and keep sending them to school. Guess what? You haven't done the when. He's going to give you the grace. He's going to give you the power to do that thing that he's called you to do when you step out in faith. And if you're looking for the power, you're looking for a little hint, you're looking for a little something to go, I just need a confirmation. I'll just stick my toe in the water and see if I like the temperature. If the temperature's good, then I'll jump in. No, he says jump. And when you jump in, he'll give you grace.
Amen.
When the people stepped out and put their feet in the River Jordan, the Jordan parted. While they stood on the bank, the Jordan just flowed mightily before them. Okay? And so be encouraged. This is a clear encouragement and example to us that we need to step out in faith. The when God answers. When we do the when, God answers. Okay. And the Lord gave him peace. And so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. So that brings us to 6 points. That means we're up to the last point. And I called this Jehoshaphat's error. Jehoshaphat was a righteous king. He did much to turn the people's hearts back to God in sending princes, Levites, and priests to teach them. And by loving God himself and putting away the things that displeased God. Yet there was a continuing thread through the life of Jehoshaphat that ultimately led to the murder of his children and to apostasy and ruin of his nation after he died. I don't necessarily think that he did it intentionally. I don't think he did it at all. And I think it's very sad what did happen. Now, we read in the first military campaign, it just says in 1 Kings 22:2, it says that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, down to Ahab. But in 2 Chronicles 18:1, it says specifically, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. That was in the first military campaign. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder what that word affinity means. And do you know what that word affinity means? He joined affinity with Ahab. Affinity, chorthan. It's a primary root to give a daughter away in marriage. Hence, to contract affinity by marriage. To join in affinity, it's translated join in affinity, father-in-law, make marriage, mother-in-law, son-in-law. King Jehoshaphat arranged for his son to marry King Ahab's daughter. Why? Why did he do that? And you know, scripture doesn't say why he did that. Perhaps King Jehoshaphat just wanted a wife for his son. You know, princes have to marry princesses, right? If there's a prince in England, he might go over to Germany and find a princess over there, or Holland or something. And, you know, princes have to marry princesses. Maybe that's just what it was. Maybe Jehoshaphat was a peacemaker. Maybe he just wanted to get along with everyone. You know, maybe he was just making peace. Perhaps King Jehoshaphat had a vision of uniting the kingdom of Israel and Judah to make one nation out of the two, to heal the split of 60 years ago so that all the Israelites could worship Yahweh instead of just a few. And we don't know. We don't know why King Jehoshaphat did this thing. However, it does give us some clues. And that's why I think that Jehoshaphat was probably trying to heal the split and reunite Israel. Maybe it was a little bit of all those things. I don't know. But I read both of those scriptures in 1 Kings 22:4 and 2 Kings 3:7. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. He said that twice. But the problem was that though they were initially the same kingdom, Israel had apostatized. Jeroboam had made golden calves and caused all Israel to worship the golden calves. Then along come Ahab and took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He also reared an altar to Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And then Ahab made a grove. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord to anger than all the kings that were before him. So if you didn't get that, Ahab's the most wicked king to date. And again, it says, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And you can read that in 1 Kings 16, 31-33. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. And Jehoshaphat joined affinity with Ahab. And he was corrected. He was rebuked by Jehu, the son of Hanani. Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? But then he went and did it again with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in going to war against Moab. We read that the second time. And then he did it a third time. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 35 to 37, after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, that's the son of Jehoram, who did very wickedly, and he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Marashah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have joined yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has broken your works, and the ships were broken, and they were not able to go to Tarshish. God wanted a holy, separated people. Israel, under Ahab's leadership, had become like the nations around him. the nations that God had called them to be separate from and to not do as they did. The nations of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites. And God said, have nothing to do with them. And so Jehoshaphat was not to join with those nations. And therefore, since Ahab had joined with those nations, then Jehoshaphat should not have joined with them. And so what is the lesson for us today? Remember what I said? I don't want to be an armchair critic, but I do want to learn from the lessons that Jehoshaphat had to learn. Today, like in Jehoshaphat's reign, God is calling us to come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:17. As he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of behaviour. 1 Peter 1:15. The call to holiness is the same today as it was to God's people back then in Jehoshaphat's day. Yet today, the church has apostatized. It is not a holy called out church. It's not. The church looks like, smells like, tastes like, just like the world around us. Just in like manner was Israel like the world around it then. So the nations of Jehoshaphat's day built groves, worshipped Baal, and Israel, not Judah, became like the nations around them. In our day, the nations of the world, doesn't matter which nation, America, England, any Australia, New Zealand, worship materialism, greed, self, ease, pride, and so does the church today. And it's not right. And in direct contrast to this, as Christians, we are called to a life of self-denial, take up your cross and follow me, simplicity, devotion, and holiness. We must live separate to the world so that though our heart is to be at one with those who profess to know God and to be able to say, along with Jehoshaphat, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses, it is something that we must not do. In Titus 1:16, Paul says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Yet we should be careful to maintain good works, Titus 3:8, holy lives, 1 Peter 1:15, and to withdraw from every brother who walketh disorderly, 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now, I can almost hear the clamour of disagreement in the silence that surrounds me. Jehoshaphat was a peacemaker. He was building bridges to reconciliation. Don't be so judgmental. He meant well. What was the fruit of Jehoshaphat making affinity with Ahab? Was he able to bring about reconciliation and reunite the kingdoms? Did he lift Israel up to a higher walk of holiness to put away the worship of Baal and to worship only Yahweh? No. What was the fruit of his good intentions? You know, often we make decisions and they are like fruit trees, and it takes years to see the fruit of those decisions that we make. Often the fruit of the decisions that we make are seen in the lives of our children and our grandchildren. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil companionship corrupt good manners. So what was the fruit? What happened to his decision? Does anyone know the story? When Jehoshaphat died, his son Jehoram, who was married to Athaliah, the daughter of King Ahab, ascended to the throne as king. The first thing he did was to cruelly murder all his brothers. Possibly the ones mentioned in 2 Chronicles 17:7 that travelled throughout Judah, helping to teach the people to love God. Righteous, godly men that were a threat to his future intentions, murdered. He murdered the nobility, those that didn't go along with his plan and didn't support him in what he'd wanted to do. He worshipped Baal and brought in Baal worship into Jerusalem. He built groves and high places that his father had destroyed, and he compelled the inhabitants of Judah to commit idolatry. In short, he actively destroyed all the religious reforms and teachings of his father and forced Judah into apostasy. Does it say why he did that? Why did he do it? And do you know the Bible says why? 2 Chronicles 21 verse 6. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Now, because of Jehoram's great wickedness, God smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And at the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. He was warned by a letter from the prophet Elijah to not do what he was doing, and he kept right on. And this is the testimony, the epitaph of Jehoram, the son of the righteous King Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 21:20. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. Well, his son, Ahaziah, ascended to the throne. With such a clear example of the rewards of wickedness, he'd have done right. Right? 2 Chronicles 22:3. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. He reigned 1 year and was slain by Jehu, who was anointed by God to cut off the house of Ahab. So 2 Chronicles 22:10, Athaliah then goes and murders all of Ahaziah's children. That's all her own grandchildren. Her own grandchildren. She kills them all, bar one. Joash, he's hidden in the temple, and seizes the crown herself. And she rules Judah for the next 6 years before she was finally thrown out. All of this because Jehoshaphat made affinity with Ahab. So I ask the question, what was the fruit of his decision? Let's look at in the life of his children and his grandchildren. What was the fruit? 15 years of murder, tyranny, oppression, and apostasy. It's shocking, isn't it? Today, like I said, let's not be armchair critics, but let's take a look at home. How are our decisions going to affect our children's lives? What fruit will they bring in their lives? Are we making affinity with the world? You know what the world worships. You know what the worship of God is. Jehoshaphat was a righteous man. He taught the people to love God. He removed those things that displeased the Lord. He was humble when he was corrected. He knew to look to the Lord in his failings and his mistakes. He walked by faith and saw amazing miracles. There is so much that we can learn from the life of Jehoshaphat. Yet in making affinity with Israel, it resulted in the murder of his children, the murder of his grandchildren, and the murder of his great-grandchildren. It was the destruction of everything that he sought to build, and it was oppression and tyrannization of the people whom he loved and served as king for 15 long years after his death. And so I ask today, as a final point of Jehoshaphat, if our children profess that they know God and yet worship at the altar of materialism or worship the God of Mammon,
What will the fruit be when we are gone? Let us stand and pray. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the precious example of Jehoshaphat and all the good things that he did. And he has set us such a good example of humility, of duty, dedication, devotion, of faith, about calling out when he is in trouble. And yet he made affinity with the world around him, and it didn't go well for his family. And Lord, we lift up our families before you, Father, yes, and humbly ask, Lord, would you shine your light and show us where we have erred, where we have let the world in, where you called us to be separate, that we have let in that which is profane when you have called us to be holy. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your blood cleanses us from all our sins. And we come before you as your people and humbly ask you, forgive us our sins.
Yes.
Cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And though we fall and we fail, yet you are gracious and you pick us up and you dust us off and you encourage us to keep going. And Lord Jesus, not by works of righteousness. We do not seek to do works of righteousness for our salvation. We look to you wholly for that, Lord Jesus. We trust your atoning blood that cleanses us from all our sins. But Lord, we ask that you would lead us and guide us as we walk in this wicked world, as this world seeks to pull us down. And as Isaac said at the start, as Satan seeks to get our eyes off you, Lord Jesus, please, help our eyes stay on you.
Yes.
Help us, Lord Jesus, to keep our focus on you. Help us to follow after you with our hands and our feet, to keep busy about your work, Lord Jesus. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.